Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today I choose to hear your voice and live. Today I choose to follow you.
Yes, Lord, that's my commitment today, to follow you, to give my yes to you, to hear your voice and to live for you, to serve you, to spend my life for you and on you. And may you be glorified as I do so. Amen. My friends, this is Don Crisp speaking, pastor of the First Baptist Church of Smiths Falls. Welcome to the Good News Christian Ministries. Our mailing address is Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, KOG 1WO. Today, we are going to begin a series on revivals. We'll see some in the Bible as we read them, but particularly also in history. This is part one, and I'm entitling it Gilgal. Gilgal, which literally means the place where we start with God, home base, as it were. Revivals, part one. It's important to note that Gilgal, not Jerusalem, was home base for the Israelites. It's also important to note that when we go astray, we need to return to home base. We need to return to Gilgal. God speaks to his people in Zechariah chapter 1 verse 3. Now I wanted to just say Zechariah chapter 1 verse 3 is in fact our theme verse for this series that I'll be preaching on and teaching on revivals. This is what he says, Zechariah 1 verse 3. Return to me, declares the Lord Almighty, and I will return to you. Come back to me, and I'll come back to you. Well, that's an important message. Perhaps you've heard about the Great Awakening, the revival that began in Germany in the year 1734. A small Christian community called the Herrnhut, they sent out over 300 radical missionaries spreading the good news of Jesus Christ. And it spread like wildfire. It went to England, it went to the United States. And that revival resulted in thousands of souls turning to Jesus Christ. How about the revival that took place during the Civil War? Did you hear of that revival? It was called the Great Revival. In the year 1863 to the summer of 1864, according to the Confederate chaplain J. William Jones, virtually every Confederate brigade was affected, and approximately 10% of the soldiers in the Army of the Northern Virginia Army accepted Christ. Did you hear that? Night after night, troops participated in worship and prayer meetings. Virtually every gathering ended with soldiers coming forward to accept Christ or to receive prayer or to come back to Christ. When a pond or a river was nearby, the soldiers would frequently step forward for baptism, regardless on how cold the weather was. As a matter of fact, the U.S. Christian Commission records show that similar events were happening in the North as well as in the South, in the Army of the Potomac. At the same time, brigade chapels were so full that many men were frequently turned away. There wasn't enough room to hold them all. Wow, what a revival. It is estimated that over 100,000 Confederate and somewhere between 100,000 to 200,000 Union troops accepted Christ during the Civil War. That's roughly 10% of the men who were engaged in it. God says, return to me, and I will return to you. Now, Zechariah began his ministry in the year 521 BC. Zechariah was both a priest and a prophet. He began his ministry in Judah just 2 months after another prophet, Haggai, began his ministry. And both prophets compared the present with the past and the future. Now understand something. Haggai and Zechariah's ministries followed the ministries of Ezekiel and Daniel, who ministered to the captives when they're in Babylon. So the people of Israel had been taken to Babylon as captives. God sent Ezekiel and Daniel, who became the prophets to his people. when the people were coming home from Babylon back to Jerusalem, God sent Haggai and Zechariah as their prophets. Now understand something. Haggai stressed the rebuilding of Jerusalem, the walls, the city, and he stressed the rebuilding of the temple. Zechariah, on the other hand, emphasized the rebuilding of God's people. Zechariah's messages were clear as he sounded them before the people. Return to God. Return to God, and he'll return to you. The people had been in exile because they had been worshiping, rather than worshiping God, they had actually worshiped Jerusalem. They had worshiped the buildings. They had been worshiping the walls. They had worshiped the temple rather than the God of the temple. And God allowed the Babylonians to destroy Jerusalem and the temple and to take them captive. And now in history, it's time to return and repent, says God. It's time to rebuild Jerusalem. It was time to rebuild the temple. It was time to rebuild the people of God. It's time for God's people to go back to Gilgal and to start all over again. It's time for God's people to be rebuilt. Now just freeze that thought for a moment. Do you know that there's a revival happening all over the world right now, even as I speak? Do you know that there's some 20,000 people converting to Jesus Christ every day in China? Did you hear that? Every day, 20,000 people. Did you know that there are 32,000 people in Africa converting to Jesus Christ every day? In the year, right, the year we're in now, 2011. Did you know that North America, yes, in Canada, pastors are struggling with their congregations because of indifference and apathy and tradition? Do you think maybe we need a revival? We need to look at the lack of ethical and moral integrity that we see around us. George Barna concludes in an article that he wrote entitled The American Witness that Christians are just as likely to divorce and even watch X-rated movies as non-Christians. I can't believe that that's true, but indeed, in many ways, we realize it probably is. Gallup said the following, I quote, "We find that there is very little difference in ethical behavior between churchgoers or Christians when it comes to the levels of lying and cheating and stealing. They are remarkably similar in both groups. We have a problem with North American Christianity." I'm reminded of Thomas Trask in his book, The Choice. He gives some statistics that are startling. This is what he says. 10% of church members in North America cannot be found. 20% of church members never attend church. Now, wait a minute. I'm a pastor. That would mean that a third of my congregation, that means I can't find them, or they're simply not there, which raises the question, what are they doing on the membership list? And how come we don't know where they are? There's something wrong here. Thomas Trask goes on and says, of the ones who actually do attend, 25% admit that they never pray. 35% admit that they don't read their Bibles. 40% admit that they never contribute to the church, a tithe or an offering. 60% never give to missions. 70% never assume responsibility within the church. 85% never invite anyone to church. And 95% have never won anyone to Christ. Wow. DC Talk addresses this issue in their song, What If I Stumble? This is what they say. The greatest single cause of atheism in the world today is Christians who acknowledge Jesus with their lips, then walk out the door and deny them with their lifestyle. That is what an unbelieving world simply finds unbelievable. End of quote. Wow. DC Talk is right. As we look at Christianity in the world today, we need a revival. It's time for God's people to rebuild their lives. It's time, folks, it's time that we rediscover how we can get back to Gilgal. So my first point in this message is Gilgal is in fact home base. It needs to be home base. My text for today is found in Joshua chapter 3 and Joshua chapter 4. In Joshua chapter 3, we see that the people of God are crossing the Jordan River as they're coming into the promised land. And in verse 5 of chapter 3, Joshua says to the people, two things, consecrate yourselves to God, and then you'll see the amazing things he'll do amongst you. The second thing he says is take up the Ark of the Covenant and allow it to go ahead of the people. Now, the Ark of the Covenant represented the presence of God. What are the two things he's saying to God's people? Consecrate yourself before God and then stand back and watch what mighty things he'll do. And secondly, be sure you're in the presence of God. Our text for this message is found in chapter 4. In verse 1, it says that the whole nation had just finished crossing the Jordan. And then in verse 20, it says, now listen, Joshua sets up at Gilgal 12 stones they had taken out of the Jordan. He said to the Israelites, in the future, when your descendants ask their fathers, what do these stones mean? Tell them Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the Jordan before you until you had crossed over. The Lord your God did to the Jordan just what he had done to the Red Sea when it dried up before us, and we were able to cross over. He did this so that all the people of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful. Gilgal is home base. Now, just stop for a moment and ask yourself a question. What's your spiritual home base? Is there a place that you go where you do business with God on a daily basis? A place where you go where you meet with God, you're in the presence of God, where you're able to consecrate yourself before God? We need to rediscover that home base, that Gilgal. Secondly, Gilgal is also a place of remembrance, renunciation, restored fellowship, and indeed a place of rest and renewal. In the text I just read, we see it is a place of remembrance. Joshua stacked 12 stones as a memorial so that all Israel would remember the miracle. Ah, yes, we need to be reminded. We need to remember what wonderful things God has done in our lives. You know, I came to faith in Jesus Christ in February 1973. Now, I was born March 30th, 1948. And, you know, I try to celebrate my birthday every year, but I also try to celebrate my spiritual birthday every year, every February, to say this is the day that the Lord saved me. This is the day that the Lord rescued me and changed my life. And I need to remember that, and I need to remember that every day. Renunciation simply means that the people were challenged to consecrate themselves, and that means to rid themselves of worldly and rebellious ways, ways that they'd learned when they were in the wilderness, to rid ourselves of the stain and the stench of sin in our lives. We need to do the same. Gilgal was also a place of restored fellowship. You see, it was at Gilgal that they observed the Passover on the evening of the 14th day of the month. That's what you'll read in Joshua 4. They had not celebrated Passover since Israel camped at Mount Sinai. Did you know that? And that was the 14th day of Nisan. The same day that Noah opened the door of the ark. It's the same day the angel rolled away the stone from our Lord's tomb in Jerusalem. The 14th day of Nisan, where restored relationships and fellowship with God takes place. Do you do that every day? Do you renew yourself in the Lord every day? I trust you do. Gilgal, fourthly, was also a place where they rested and where they found renewal. Gilgal was the place that God's people returned after victory. The moment they had a military victory, they went back to Gilgal. Joshua chapter 10, verses 15 to 43. And Gilgal is where we need to go to rest following the battle of life, just living on planet Earth. Gilgal is home base. Gilgal is a place of remembrance, renunciation, restored relationship, a place of rest, a place of renewal. Let's just think for a moment about revivals again. The year was 1904. A young ministerial student by the name of Evan Roberts, he began to feel that God was sending an urgent message that he was going to pour out his mighty spirit of revival on Wales. Roberts began attending various revival meetings, and during one, he was deeply moved by the Spirit of the Lord to pray this prayer, "Lord, bend me, align my will with yours." Roberts returned to his home church to preach the message that God had given him on revival, but the pastor was reluctant to allow him to speak. In fact, he said, "You can speak after the service." And so he allowed him to speak. 17 people stayed to hear Roberts speak. Evan Roberts spoke in that church for 2 hours that evening with a simple 4-point message that he was convinced could help bring revival. Here are the 4 points that he spoke on. Number 1, confess all sin to God. Number 2, deal with and get rid of any doubtful area in your life. Number 3, be ready to obey the Holy Spirit instantly. Number 4, confess Christ publicly. When Roberts was finished speaking, all 17 young people were at the altar on their knees crying out to God. They prayed to 2 a.m., and that was the beginning of one of the greatest movements of God in all of history. Wow, what a revival. Did you know that by the end of the week, over 60 people were won to Christ? And over the course of the next year, now listen to this, over the course of the next year and a half, I should say, revival swept through the nation of Wales. Over 1 million people were brought to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. The revival was so great that the national culture changed dramatically. I'm astounded when I listen to this information. A rage of bankruptcies took place throughout Wales. All taverns, did you hear that? All taverns and liquor stores went out of business. Work at the coal mines were brought to a near standstill. Why? Because the mules who pulled the wagons were so accustomed to hearing foul language from the workers that when the men were saved and no longer used that language, they couldn't understand the commands. My word. Did you know the entire police force was dismissed for 18 months due to a complete lack of crime? There was one court case that I just smile at when I hear it. One case indeed where the judge did something very unusual. The defendant came into court. He admitted his guilt. The judge led the man to Christ, and the jury closed the case by singing a hymn. Wow. The revival eventually made its way across the Atlantic and swept to parts of New York and New Jersey. There was even a daily column in the New York Times called Today's Converts, and they listed how many people and even the names of those that were being saved right in the newspaper every day. Well, times certainly have changed since 1904. Times have not only changed, but the reality is we need to get back to that promise, that call from Zechariah that brings revival, where God says, return to me, and I will return to you. And God says, you need to pray, I need to pray, Lord, bend me, align my will with your will. We need to draw a circle, and we need to step inside that circle and say, Lord, it's me, O Lord, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. We need to consecrate ourselves before God, and we need to make sure we're in the presence of the Lord so that we can live an authentic life for him, which indeed would allow people to see that this is real, this is authentic. Would you pray with me? Father, we do pray that prayer, Lord, it's me standing in the need of prayer, and we do ask, Heavenly Father, that you would continue to love us and continue to forgive us and to continue to energize us with your power that comes solely from the Holy Spirit. Lord, would you revive me? Would you revive my family? Would you revive our churches? Would you revive our land? We need revival in Canada. We need to choose to follow you today and to give our yes to you today. We give you thanks, our Heavenly Father. We give you thanks for all that you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen. Once again, I want to thank you for your prayer support and your consistent financial support. Each week I try to tell it like it is, both in the messages that God gives me and in my reporting and updating as where we are in this ministry, where we are spiritually and where we are financially. The cost to do this program is just under $700 every week for this half hour. So we need you to stop and think and pray and ask God what he would have you do. Hey, I pray that he will inspire you to write a check to support this ministry. I pray that you will be a regular and consistent supporter of this ministry, and I want to thank you for doing so. And would you indeed write a check to the Good News Christian Ministries and send it to Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, KOG 1WO, and I'm sure that God will bless you for it. He certainly will bless us if you do it. May God bless you. Now, folks, let's just hear a word from Dr. Alan Churchill.
Friends, we all know that everything changes, and this ministry is no different than anything else. If you are a regular listener to this weekly broadcast, you have already become accustomed to the voice of my good friend and partner in the gospel, Don Crisp. Therefore, it won't be a surprise for you to learn that from now on you're going to be hear Don every time you tune in, although you may still hear from me occasionally. Don, this broadcast has been a great blessing to me through these past 11 and a half years, and I pray that you will be blessed by it also as you assume the full responsibility of carrying it into the future. I know that you have a serious commitment to this radio ministry and a powerful message to convey to a world that needs to hear the good news solidly proclaimed. You have my blessing and my support through prayer and participation on the board of directors that administers this organization. And friends, I want to thank you for your support and words of encouragement that many of you have sent over the years to me. I strongly recommend that you listen intently to Don's messages and that you supply him with the same kind of support as you have given to me. May God bless all of you as Don continues to spread the message of God's unending love to a hurting and battered world. And now, Don, I pass this radio ministry on to you. May God bless fully you and your audience.
Alan, certainly becoming your friend and being a part of this ministry by your invitation has really touched my heart, and indeed, I do have a commitment to this radio ministry, and I want to thank God for you, your vision. I want to thank God for your leadership, and I want to thank God for your faithfulness to this ministry. Now, folks, if you are listening to this, I'm sure, like myself, you'll be thinking, oh my, what's happening? Well, what's happening here is transition, but also what we want to do is have a time of thanksgiving and celebration. So I want to invite you to a special event, and this will be a time of just giving thanks to God for the ministry, this particular radio ministry of Dr. Alan Churchill. Mark this date down, Saturday, September the 24th. That's Saturday, September the 24th at 7 p.m. It'll be an evening of being able to give thanks to God for this ministry, to have personal chats with Alan and Alma, of course, and just to be able to cheer them on, particularly Dr. Churchill. This evening will take place at Bethany Baptist Church. That's Bethany Baptist Church, 382 Center Point Drive in Nepean. That's at Baseline, just a few blocks west of Woodruff Avenue. So that's Saturday, September 24th, 7 p.m., Bethany Baptist Church, Baseline, just a few blocks west of Woodruff. You'll see that church there, no problem. We'll look forward to seeing you there. And Alan, I want to again thank God for you and have a word of prayer right now. Father, this radio ministry is yours. It's not ours, it's yours, and we just release it to you. I thank you for Alan's faithfulness, for his mentorship, indeed for his drive and his passion for this ministry. And I thank you that he'll remain on the board, and we'll hear from him from time to time. And so, Father, would you bless him and keep him, and make your face to shine upon him. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
My friends, don't forget to worship in a church that proclaims Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world and points you to the cross. A church that will equip you and encourage you to embrace our Lord's will for your life. A church that faithfully holds high the Bible and does not waver from the principles, precepts, and promises that are found within it. Father, we do pray that you would inspire us and instruct us to live lives worthy of you. We pray that you would empower us to live for you, bringing honor and glory to your name. Amen. Today's message has been a call to come home to Gilgal. That's home base. Let's listen to Sandy Patty now singing softly and tenderly, Jesus is Calling. And now may God bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you. May you live with courage, faith, and love. May you be grace agents for Christ in a world that is hungering for hope, truth, and love. Amen.
See you.
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580 CFRA.